Terrorism and war are facts of life. They still plague us. Where will it end? Is it possible to get out of the quagmire? No doubt the answers evade us, but there are plenty of questions. Does America have the resolve to win? What will be the result? What's in store for mankind? Believe it or not, Bible prophecy has plenty to say about the outcome. Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we examine terrorism from a different perspective and give you much needed understanding as we discuss when terrorism ends.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
People love to talk about the weather. It's fascinating to observe the sky, the shifting shades of colors, the shapes of the clouds, and oftentimes we can predict the weather to come. Almost 2,000 years ago, Christ commented on this same fascination. He said, "Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times?" Jesus' point was that our fascination with observing and analyzing weather conditions should tell us something, that we should also recognize and analyze the times that we live in, even when it comes to terrorism and Bible prophecy. We're going to talk about that today, and I've invited two guests to join me. Gary Petty is a commentator, a writer, and pastor with the United Church of God, and Darris McNeely, also a pastor and managing editor of World News and Prophecy magazine. Welcome. When you talk about terrorism, here we are, a big problem in the world today, and you talk about it in relationship to Bible prophecy, and you automatically think of the future. Is it possible to predict the future? Can we know the future?
Well, every year people look ahead, especially in January when we turn the page of the calendar into a new year, Steve, and everyone makes prognostications and predictions about what's going to happen during the next 12 months. And it's interesting to see what kind of success they have. A magazine that I subscribe to puts out a whole special issue every year that talks about the year ahead. And then they go back over their past issues and say, well, how accurate were they? And in most cases, they missed a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But I find that when people stick with trends, broad trends, then they have a better success rate. And when you stay focused on those trends, you can have a pretty good indication of how things are going to move over a period of 3 months or 6 months or 12 months and be accurate with a reasonable certitude.
You mentioned the Bible. People are interested in the Bible and can it tell us the future? And when you look at the Bible, the Creator didn't put us on earth without an instruction book. And that's what it is. It's an instruction book of how to live, and it tells us the history of how He's interacted with humanity. But in the Bible is the plan of God. He didn't leave us here without instructions, and He didn't leave us here without a plan. So we look at the Bible, and it explains how God's going to work through history so that His plan for humanity is worked out. So yes, we can get certain insight into the future by looking at the Bible and see God's plan.
I think, Steve, when you bring it down to the individual level, that people can probably have a better rate of predicting the future, their own future, by looking at the decisions that they make. The Bible, Gary was talking about, does give us guidelines for living and helping us understand how to make right decisions with wisdom, and tells us if we do this, then we can expect this result. Talks about cause and effect. And people will pay big dollars to go to a soothsayer or to have their fortunes read, wanting to know what's going to happen to them. But the biggest predictor of what they're going to do is right in their own power. They have that responsibility and that power to shape their own future.
Now, when you bring the topic of terrorism and Bible prophecy, immediately people will start to conjure up different images in their mind. And as you think about that, you also come up with this concept of prophecy being history, but history that's written ahead of time. You know, it's what's going to come down the line. And some people would immediately question that and say, well, nobody's going to be able to predict the future. But it's fair to say God foretells the future, right?
It does. In fact, that's one of the proofs of the Bible, and also a proof that a person can understand about God and helping to understand and prove God's existence by what He says will take place in the pages of the Bible, and looking at history to see where that happened. And there are many instances.
So we can look at the past, and we can see that God said this was going to happen, and then it already has happened. So
that's right.
That we can see that's true. That's proof. So then we can
whole empires have come and gone by God's word.
And it's predicted then.
But Darris made a comment about your personal life. And when you look at the Bible, what's amazing is God has this plan that started when He put the first humans on this earth. And in that plan, we have what is called free will. We make decisions. We make choices. Now, he tells us the choices we're supposed to make. And humanity, for the most part, we make the wrong choices, the wrong decisions. So when you look at that plan of God, what's amazing is he guides history so that the end result is what he wants. Yet on a personal level, we make up our own governments, our own societies, our own educational systems. And much of this experimentation is a history of failure. And yet God, in the end, gets what he wants.
And so God, in a sense, he can work through those decisions. He can work through those choices that people make. He says, this is going to happen. People have a choice, but he has the power then to make it come about.
Right. He doesn't stop our choices, right. And yet he gets what he wants.
And the plan of God is going to come to pass, and it always does. God works things out, even as he allows individuals, nations, governments, the freedom of choice, the freedom of will to decide various matters within that broad parameter. But when you look at history, when you look at Bible history and Bible prophecy, you see that God is always moving forward in his plan and in his purpose within the nations and among people.
Now, it's interesting, too. It doesn't really even stop there because, in a sense, he doesn't want to leave us on the outside looking in. God tells us what's going to be happening. He lets us in. He allows people to understand those prophecies and, in that sense, be a part of them.
Well, we can participate. And we participate by being prepared for his plan, for what he wants for each one of us. Each one of us has a purpose in our lives that he wants to fulfill. And so we're part of this plan, and we get to participate. And that's why prophecy is there, to encourage us to what the end of the game is.
And when it comes to Bible prophecy, there is the encouraging and the comforting message that God says to, through one of his prophets, the prophet Amos. Mm-hmm. He said that he's not going to bring anything to pass that he has not yet first shown through his servants, the prophets. And so even a casual understanding of Bible prophecy brings about that encouragement that God tells us much in advance of what is going to take place to even help us in some at some particular points in the history of the world and God's plan. We can even avoid some of the mistakes and the impact of what is taking place on the world scene and not have it affect us as much as it normally would.
So it's fair then to say that Bible prophecy, especially when we talk about the light of terrorism, it's not just a doom and gloom kind of a thing. There's more to it than just that, right?
Oh, yes. In fact, the doom and gloom of prophecy, when you look at the scripture, is basically this experimentation that we're doing as humanity ends up really bad. And so much of the bad prophecy that's there, or the gloom and doom, is because we end up messing this up to the point we're at the edge. Humanity's at the edge of total annihilation. We're going to destroy ourselves. In fact, Jesus Christ in the Olivet Prophecy said if he does not come back at the time that he does, we will wipe ourselves off the face of the earth. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is how God saves us from this mess. But the doom and gloom is what we're doing to ourselves.
I just recently read a book that was entitled A History of the End of the World. Now, the title itself tells you where the author is coming from and what so many people feel about Bible prophecy especially, and that it is only a message of gloom and doom. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no mistake that there is a great deal of bad things that Bible prophecy deals with, but most of it is as a result of human sin and human decisions.
Man's decisions. Right. He brought it on himself.
Our free
will.
Right.
That's right. But when you understand the whole picture of Bible prophecy, God always holds out a hope at the end of a very, very dark tunnel of human experience. He always holds out the light of his hope of a better time, a time of restoration in his kingdom.
There is hope. We want you to have that hope. In fact, you can get our magazine, this little booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. Some of the topics we're going to talk about today, they're big ones, and you need more information to help you understand your Bible. So we hope you'll go online, order the booklet. In fact, you get a free Good News magazine with your order. So get the booklet. In fact, we'll be talking more about terrorism, so we hope you'll stay with us, and we'll discuss the root of terrorism. It goes back to a family feud found in your Bible. Stay with us.
As the doors to the future open, only the Bible gives an accurate vision of progress, hope, and a future of peace to a world of escalating war. Now you can understand Bible prophecy as never before in this free publication by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going online at beyondtoday.tv. Discover the fundamentals of Bible prophecy. Reason from the prophecies yourself about today's news and discover the astonishing credibility of prophecies that all came to pass. Prophecies about the greatest nations today, of God's promises to save humanity from global destruction. Read about the coming progress beyond human imagination tomorrow. So call now, toll-free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy.
We've been discussing when terrorism ends and how terrorism relates to Bible prophecy. And in order to understand where we've been, where we're going, I think we've got to understand where terrorism's roots really lie. And we've got to go back to the Bible to really do that. Isn't it true the answers really lie in the Bible?
They do, Steve. When you look at the current scene of terrorism in our world today and what is being called a war on terror that has gone on for a number of years and will no doubt continue, you have to look at the major players. We're talking about the Muslim world. We're talking about largely the Christian world, the West, as well as the world of Judaism or the Jews. And
hard to cut out religion when you talk about groups like those three.
Right. And all three of those religions, these great world faiths, these three major faiths, go back to one common ancestor, which is Abraham. Mm-hmm. They all have their roots there in that biblical patriarch and in the book, as they refer to it. The Muslims refer to the Bible as the book. The Jews look at the Old Testament. Christians look at both the Old and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And the roots are there, and that's where you have to go to begin to understand and to sort through the myriad and complex issues and peoples that we are facing today with the acts of terror that have been brought against us and that we see on our screens every day.
So in a sense, it starts with a dysfunctional family feud, doesn't it?
Exactly. But when we look at the religions, and of course, when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Ishmael were the foundation of this, that was before Islam. With Islam today in the Quran, we have some basic problems between Judaism, between Christianity, and between Islam that can't be fixed. And it centers around Jesus Christ. Because Islam believes that Jesus was a prophet. Mm-hmm. Many Jews in Judaism believe that Jesus was some kind of prophet. But in the New Testament, it says he is the Son of God, and that salvation can come only through him. Now, those viewpoints, that he is a prophet, that he is the Son of God, cannot be reconciled. Mm-hmm. The differences are too great. And that's at the core of some of the problems that cause this religious fervor that's happening.
So really, when you ask that question, and I hear it all the time, well, isn't it the same God? You know, isn't Allah the same as the God of the Bible? You know, all gods are the same. And people seem to push that idea that, well, that faith is just as good as this faith because it's all the same God.
Well, to get into the question of is it the same God is a larger question perhaps than what we can get into here today, Steve. But they all have their roots in that same book, and they look to one God. They call him Allah. They call him God or Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But they all look to that one book, but they have different perspectives on it. The mm-hmm. Jews look at the Old Testament as what we call the Old Testament as their primary source of knowledge, but it ends there. The Christian religion picks it up with the New Testament and what it says about Christ and his divinity as the Son of God as added on. But then the Muslim faith, then they have their own book called the Quran that they look at as the final revelation from this one God, the God they worship and call Allah, and it supersedes what went before. And so with this conflicting approach toward a holy book and toward the one God, there's no real hope of reconciliation, and there are vast gulfs of differences there that do come and have come out historically and are present with us today in this matter of terrorism.
If you look at the Bible and you look at the Quran, there's all kinds of differences in historical explanations, all kinds of differences in morality, differences in the difference between good and evil, the difference in how God deals with people. And when you look at the two, it reminds me of something that someone asked Abraham Lincoln during the American Civil War. And that is, if you have two people fighting each other, both claiming to do the will of God, how do you reconcile that? And his answer, after he thought about it, basically was, when two people or groups of people are both fighting, claiming to do the will of God in this great conflict, it's possible that both sides are wrong. It's possible that one is right and one is wrong. It is not possible that both are right. And the differences between the Bible and the Quran are so different, they can't be inspired by the same God. It's not possible.
And so we have a big problem when you begin to look at that. And yet, in Bible prophecy, and you look at the pages of the Old Testament, we do see passages that talk about not times back then, but now, times that are to come, where it talks about these various religious groups that are going to come together, and there's going to be some difficulties in the future. So how do we relate to that? Is it just an old book that doesn't relate anymore?
If you're speaking of the Old Testament,
exactly.
No, because we're dealing with people, human nature. We're dealing with people that are tribes and families grown into nations, mm-hmm. and the issues are just the same, and they're on our headlines today. In fact, if you look at one of the prophets, the prophet Daniel, there's one passage where it refers to a spiritual struggle on a different level than the physical between what are called the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece. And Michael and the archangels are in this struggle there in an effort to bring knowledge to the prophet Daniel. But we have this reference, very oblique reference, to this spiritual titanic struggle that we really don't know that much about. But it's interesting that the nations of Persia and Greece are brought out. Persia is Iran. And we see that on the headlines today, mm-hmm. When we see this struggle that is going on, that's a contest between the good and evil, between the people of God and God advancing His will. Greece is a European-based country, obviously, and then this Prince of Greece is brought in there as well. So we see places mentioned back from that time and spiritual angels attached to them that have an impact because of the nations that are occupying those places today and the struggle that's still going on.
Well, historically, when you look at the Old Testament, you go back before Christianity, you go back before Islam, and you see the struggles between the people who became the Jews today in modern Israel and the people who became the Arabs. And there's a whole history there that goes back clear back to 1000 BC, and then before that, almost 2,000 years, and you see terrorism going on, mm-hmm. on both sides. There's one point where King David, one of his generals, attacks a group of people that today are the ancestors of one of some of the modern Arabs. He actually went through and tried to kill everybody, genocide. So you see this terrorism on both sides. You see genocide. Other times you see them working together. Herod the Great, which a lot of people will know because he, of course, tried to kill Jesus Christ. Herod the Great was a descendant of Esau. And so they're all cousins. Hmm. And that whole history of that family is in the Old Testament.
And in a sense, then, we're talking about a bigger problem, because there's the bigger issue of the spiritual concept that there's a good and there's an evil and there's a bigger battle going on, in a sense, behind the scenes. Isn't that right, Darius?
That's true. There is a spiritual struggle that's going on as God advances His plan and as the Bible reveals the fact of a spiritual power being called Satan the devil, who is opposing that plan. But I want to go back to a point that helps us at least understand why people fail to grasp the issues that are at stake today. And that is that there's just a general misunderstanding of the Bible, or just a lack of understanding about a lot of these things. Gary mentioned some of these things about the ancestors going back there. A lot of people in the West especially, they just don't know their Bible. They don't understand that the headlines that we read about today of these terrorist groups and these particular peoples in the Middle East do have a connection, mm-hmm. with the West. And it goes back into the Scriptures.
Let's hold that thought for a second there, because I don't think people do realize how their Bible does relate to terrorism. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
One-third of the Bible is written as prophecies of the future. Why? How can you grasp the fundamentals of Bible prophecy so that you can read the Bible in terms of today's news? Get the big answers in your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
Your Good News magazine is waiting for you. Go online, beyondtoday.tv. Here's a magazine of understanding. It will help you understand what's going on in the world today. World headlines, news, family articles, things to help you in your daily life. Get your copy free, the Good News magazine. It's waiting for you. Now, we've been talking about terrorism, and so many people tend to think of terrorism only in this little view of the modern world. But there's a big history to it. It actually goes back to the Bible. And when you go back to the Bible, what does it say about the evil and the cause of terrorism?
You know, when we talk about terrorism and we look at just the modern Islamic extremists, one of the things that is so hard for us to understand in the Western world is how much they hate us. They're driven by a hatred. And that hatred is, now I'm not saying all Muslims are filled with hatred or they're all, not at all, but there isn't an extreme group. We see them in the terrorist acts that they carry out.
I think we could call them Islamic Jihad.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Those people are driven by religious fervor. They're motivated by a belief that what they're doing is actually righteous and it's good. Now, they're not the first people to do that. I mean, and it's so easy for us to say, well, they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. Well, let's be honest. Let's look at the Western world. Nazism was terrorism that came mm-hmm. right out of Europe. The Inquisition was an attempt to force people to become Christians through torture. The Crusades was actually at times terrorism carried out by Christians against Muslims.
The other way around.
Right, the other way around. So when we look at terrorism, it's part of human history. And that's because it is an attitude of hatred. It is an attitude of my religion is right and I must force it on others. And so in that way, terrorism is really centered in a human condition, not just in one group, one religious group or something. It's in a human condition.
Mm-hmm. But it does come out in a unique way with the Islamic terrorism that we have seen in recent years. But what's so hard for people to understand about that, especially from our Western point of view, is that people can be that fervent about religion to the point where they would give their life mm-hmm. or they would devote their life to their specific cause in that way. We have taken the book, the Bible, this book here, and we have deconstructed it. We have taken it apart in many different ways. We've reinterpreted it according to our own desires and our own image in so many ways that we've just watered it down. And even what it passes as religion, the Christian religion today is in many ways recognized, especially by foreigners, as something that is totally alien from the words of Jesus Christ and what we find here. And so we look at another people of a different faith, and we see their fervency, their zeal, and it's hard for us to relate to. We just don't see it, certainly in the most extreme parts, but even also in the honest, devout aspects that we see among many average Islamists.
They are people of their book, and many times we are not people of the book that we believe is inspired by.
I made a trip to the Middle East recently, and it did strike me how many times you would see people just reading the Quran. You know, whether it was the parking lot attendant or people in a store or, you know, at various sites where we would be. And you would see people reading the Quran as part of their whole life. And that was during the month of Ramadan. But it did strike me, the devout feeling in many ways that you got from the man on the street.
You talk about people not understanding the book. They don't know it. They don't realize when you really get down to the root cause of this, it is a spiritual thing. There is a good, there's an evil, and it goes back, and it's talked about in the Bible, right?
We do not want to accept that Satan exists and he can have an influence on us.
People laugh about that. Oh, Satan.
That's right. It's the greatest lie you ever told, that he doesn't exist. We don't want to, you know, we have free will, so we like to believe that nothing can influence us. And the truth is, there is a great being who turned against God, who is the ultimate terrorist. He has spent all of human history terrorizing us.
And he can use religion to do that, whether it's Christianity or
it's
Islam.
It's his main form. That's right.
Right. At the heart of terrorism, whether it's Islamic terrorism, whether it's Christian terrorism, the kind that we have seen in the last century in Northern Ireland, for example, or terrorism that you may have seen in other areas of the Middle East, it is always a group of people who are wanting to impose their will, their belief, on someone else, and they are willing to destroy human life and property to do that. But it's this very strong desire to impose their will, and that's really at the heart of the spiritual dimension that Gary's talking about, that goes back to what the Bible describes as Lucifer and Satan, and this desire to impose his will over the will of God and over the plan of God, going back into what we might call prehistory, but the Bible's very plain about, that shows this desire to impose his own will. And we see that coming out throughout history by whatever group we're talking about, whatever religion, whatever political persuasion, where there have been acts of terrorism as people wanting to impose their will by force upon someone else to conquer and to defy the existing order.
And that's going to come to a fervor. It's going to come to a head when we get to the end of the time, end of the age, when we're going to have these forces that are working together that will bring about, well, what does the Bible say? Wars and rumors of wars.
And a period of time such as of trouble that we have not seen in any other past epic of human history.
All right,
what people don't realize is this is beginning to shape up on our world scene today, and it is not going to lessen until many of these things come to pass.
Now we've seen the terrorist acts. We've seen the results of that. We know that trouble's on the horizon. There's going to be some big things happening. We can be fearful. What can I do? People ask themselves, what can I actually do if I'm so concerned about these things? Is there anything that I can do to protect myself?
The first thing is we have to understand God's plan. That he is going to fix it, that Jesus Christ is going to return. And when he does, he's going to set up God's kingdom, and God's going to create a family. To be part of that.
A peaceful kingdom.
A peaceful kingdom. To be part of that, we have to learn that way now. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to escape bad things. I mean, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that in the Old Testament, they literally told the king, no, we won't worship you. They threw them into a furnace. They didn't know whether God was going to protect them or not. In fact, they said, if God chooses not to protect us, we are still going to do what he wants. They saw the vision of the future. We have the vision of what God is doing. We're living our lives towards that. Then we can face what happens.
Yeah, I think the best example of that probably is out of the book of Revelation. In the 12th chapter, there is this story of the dragon, who is identified as Satan there and understood to be Satan, is inspiring a political machine to go after the descendants of a spiritual woman there, the church. And the people who are described that are being persecuted are those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it's that way of life that is going to help us more in our own life today and in the long run in the future for whatever protection God affords his people. But they're going to be identified by being those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus.
There will be an end to terrorism. We must obey. We must have faith. We must do his will. We'll talk about that and conclude when we come back.
One third of the Bible is written as prophecies of the future. Why? How can you grasp the fundamentals of Bible prophecy so that you can read the Bible in terms of today's news? Get the big answers in your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy.
There's a great battle being waged. It's not just between nations or limited to terrorists. It's a spiritual war between good and evil. Evil is out to thwart God's plan to bring all mankind into his family. Yet we don't have to live under the fear of terrorists. Let's change our lives. Let's repent and obey the Word of God. He'll see to our physical and material and, most importantly, our spiritual needs. There's a wonderful future coming. Jesus Christ will return to establish God's kingdom, and that's when terrorism ends. Gary, Daris, thanks for being here today. When you're looking to understand your future, remember our program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.